If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Okay, hello and welcome everybody to the Chakraway Meditation Podcast. Today I am really delighted to be joined by Erin Garay. Erin is an author. She's just got a new book out, which we are going to talk about a lot. It's super exciting. She's also a speaker, a Reiki master, a hypnotherapist, a coach, and the thing that we have in common is our deep, unabiding love and passion for the chakra system. So expect a lot of chakra chat, everybody. This is going to be, you know, a true chakra chat, I think, today. So I'm really looking forward to finding out more about you. Welcome, Erin. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so happy, like you said, to dive into someone who shares the love of this system and just the many ways it can bring us into our most healthiest, happiest self. And I just think it's such an empowering system for people to come to know their bodies and to find the roadmap that helps them to attain what they're desiring.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I use that exact same analogy that it is a roadmap. And you know, in all my conversations that I have for this podcast, people from all different modalities and so on, I can always draw it back to the chakras. They underlie everything. And this is why I think it's so important for everyone to understand this system.
Yes.
I feel like a little bit of a kid. It's like, oh, a bit overexcited because I don't know quite where to begin. So I'm going to ask you to, first of all, let's just dive in to your book, which is the main thing, Establishing Equilibrium. There it is. Oh my God, that's so exciting. which is all about presumably finding balance using the chakra system. But tell me, because you have an amazing theory and beautiful, just go, Erin, tell me.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I am so excited to share this system. So much like all of us, energy has been my reality since I was little. So it's been so fascinating to listen to some of your podcasts. I particularly loved the mediumship psychic conversation a week or two ago because energy has always been my reality. I see energy. When I was a child, I would run from spirits in the hall. I've always seen colors and energy and have premonition. So when I began my Reiki practice years ago, I was using the chakra system as my basis. And I just started to see this pattern begin to show up. And so I started testing it, and I kept testing it on clients and finding that it was a very consistent pattern, and that in you, I preface this in that I think there's lots of different ways to use the chakra system. So I'm presenting this route, but I think there's lots of beautiful, amazing ways to use the chakra system.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's that?
I said, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So this is just one way, right? It's just like, you know, when you go onto GPS and it's like, take another route or avoid this route. And then it redirects you a different way. So I think this is one of the beautiful ways to use the chakra system. So what I found, though, was that my throat was doing one of those like crazy monsters coming out of the chakra monster was coming out of the throat.
I know that one. Yeah. Take a breath. It's all good.
I'm going to take a glass of sip of water really quick.
I love it when the energy just shows up and goes, oh, remember me.
You are not in control.
Yeah.
Quiet, solar plexus, quiet. Okay, back to the process. So what I found, though, was that the chakras were healing in partnership, not just isolation. And so what I was finding was a bit of a seesaw looking experience, that when one energy center was excessive, its partner was deficient. And this was deficient because it was actually this asymptomatic chakra that was the draw on the system, was the draw on the partnership. And so we look to the symptomatic chakra to say, okay, we need to heal this chakra because these are the symptoms that are showing up. But what I found was in healing the asymptomatic chakra that was invisible, then it actually brought the partnership into balance, and then we attained lasting healing, which is why this actually was the cover, is it actually does this very thing in
I can see
in what I've seen, in what I've experienced. And you know, that book cover now is so beautiful. It started out, I sent the book designer this like elementary looking seesaw. It was like a stick and a ball, and it was like red, and it literally looked like a kindergartner made it. So this is like so exquisite and beautiful and grown up looking now. But this is exactly what happens with the chakras. It does this. And I love the title is very intentional in that it's establishing equilibrium, not establish equilibrium, because
it's always a process.
You know, like we're never done, right? It's always, and sometimes we are shifting 1 degree, and sometimes we're shifting 180 degrees, but it's always a moving target of balance. But when we can understand what to look for and where to look, then I think it becomes a very powerful roadmap. So is that a good initial, or should I keep going?
No, I'm already full of questions, but keep going. Now I understand, because I know that when we were talking online and so on, you were saying, you know, you have this counter chakra system. And I was like, oh, what is the counter chakra system? I don't, you know, it could mean so many different things, but now I completely understand this balancing. So I have questions, but go for it. Keep going.
Okay. And one chakra, one partner is rooted in the physical plane chakras, and one is rooted in the spiritual plane chakras. So it is this, and this continual balance that we all equally experience within our life, right? This push pull that we experience between being a human body and a spiritual body, and this daily challenge that we have just within our life, our chakra system is experiencing that as well. So should I dive into some examples?
Please. Yeah, now I was going to ask you for some examples. That would be really helpful. It's always, examples always help, don't they?
So. Yes. So I like to begin with the crown and the solar plexus, because we have the gut-brain axis that has been scientifically proven. We have 600 million neurons in our enteric system within our gut that produces neurotransmitters that already creates this bi-directional communication between our gut and our brain. So I don't think it's a huge leap to believe that the energy centers that feed our gut and our brain then work together in partnership and work together and communicate with each other. So this looks like when the solar plexus, I'm only going to use my fingers for hands for just a little bit, except it's such a helpful, I found it such a helpful way to describe it. So when the solar plexus is excessive, our gut is, so there's our visual, I'll stop now. So when our solar plexus is excessive and our crown chakra is deficient, it becomes this way. This looks like the person who is highly critical, controlling, fearful, right? We have all the excessive symptoms of the solar plexus. But what is happening here is, like, I have a client that has this state, and he will be at true exhaustion, mental fatigue and mental exhaustion every single day. Like, so much so that he has to take like a 2 or 3 hour nap every single day. And he's like, oh, like, what is happening? Like, I'm so exhausted every day. And so but his louder symptom is this control and critical of self, critical of others. And so what is happening is that the crown is trying to feed to exhaustion the solar plexus so that it can bring equilibrium to the partnership. And so how we then remedy this is we invite in, and thematically look at the themes of those two chakras, right? We have the solar plexus, which is all about self-identity, self, solo, who am I, what identity do I have? And the crown chakra is about the collective consciousness. It's about trusting and knowing the divine purpose, the divine plan, the divine timing, and like releasing and letting go. It is the opposite of control. It is the opposite of holding on.
Yeah.
And so when we invite this theme and this healing from the crown into the solar plexus, and we begin to let go and trust and know everything's happening in the perfect divine time, in the perfect divine way, then we establish equilibrium between the two. And I have one of the things I recommend here, because the silent om is what balances the crown here, is to even imagine the om symbol here within the solar plexus, so that it draws in that energy. It is shared energy that then creates this even balance, establishes equilibrium.
Establishes equilibrium. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. It makes really good sense. And I'm interested to know, so, you know, that balancing this frenetic, fiery, personal energy with a more spiritual practice, with finding peace, for, you know, meditation essentially, makes perfect sense. When you're looking at other chakras that are out of balance, are they always the same ones that counterbalance, or can we find, because when I'm working, if somebody is overactive in the solar plexus, I like to look at the elements. So that's obviously fire in the belly. Mm-hmm. And obviously you've got air up at the heart as the element. And then below the sacral, you have the water of the sacral, Svadhisthana chakra. Mm-hmm. And so I always say, like, if this fire is burning too bright, then use the water of fun and pleasure and joy and sex and whatever other good stuff that makes you really passionate and happy. Use that to dampen the fire down, you know, go out and have a bath. Mm-hmm. Whereas if the solar plexus is weak, then we need to use the air from the heart, the self-love, the breath work to kind of, you know, light the fire. So, you know, there's always this connection between the throat, the jaw, and the hips, because that for me seems to always be a synergy. But for you,
We're going to talk about that one next, actually. Of course.
So, to know if they're always the same partners or if they swap around or if they can be swapped around in terms of this.
So again, I think that there's lots of different ways that you can use this system. TCM, actually, traditional Chinese medicine, leans into the elements quite greatly. And one of the other principles that they talk about is they seek to heal the invisible as well. This system seeks to heal the invisible. And so I feel like this particular patterning offers us the opportunity to locate the invisible. And I love that system. I think that totally makes sense and is, like I said, I think that there's lots of ways to use, the system. I think that's so beautiful. And I could totally feel that healing when you're talking about it. Yeah. For this particular book, I've kept it to these systems because I have found it's just a patterning that I have seen.
When you're doing Reiki and you're actually, you know, as you are, clairvoyant, when you can see the colors, when you can actually see the energy quite clearly, it becomes very obvious for you what is working. You know, for me, I'm more kind of intuitive, so it's like, well, this feels about right, or that feels about right, you know. So everyone has their own system, like you say,
so interestingly, I said I was going to go to that one next, but since you're talking about intuition, I want to pause that for just a moment and just dive into this for just a second. You know, we have all of our senses. So we all have clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance. And as you know, each one of our chakras manages one of our senses. And our third eye here balances all the energy centers below it, which is how we then end up calling this our sixth sense, because it is all five senses combined to then create our sixth sense here in our third chakra, or I'm sorry, not our third chakra, our third eye chakra. And this is amazing because it opens up this door for us to know that as each of those energy centers are strengthened, that sense becomes strengthened both on the physical plane and the energetic plane. So then we have this increased intuition based off of the strength of the chakra, because how this looks energetically, each one of these chakras releases energy that creates a layer of the aura. So we have a seven layer aura of energy comprised of each one of the energy centers from our chakras. So what that looks like when we are using our intuition is simply just our senses sensing our surroundings and interpreting and drawing in that information into our bodies. And so as our chakras are clear, cleansed, and strengthened, it strengthens that layer of the aura, allowing us to have an even stronger sense in the world using that sense that then allows us to draw in this even more powerful and potent sixth sense.
I love that. Yes. And I love that picture. And it's really funny because when you first picked it up, I was like, oh, lovely chakras. And for those of you listening on the podcast, it was just a body with the seven chakras placed up them in their place. But when you brought it up again, I was like, oh, there's an aura.
I know my friend actually created that for me for the book. It's on my website. I'll give you the link and you can check it out on there. So
it's really beautiful.
Yeah. Because that was such a powerful recognition and realization when I came to realize that about our intuition and our senses and how directly correlated our intuition is to our chakras. And this is how, you know, when we are meeting someone or talking to someone, we're like, oh my gosh, like how are they seeing this situation this way? Like what? Like how, like their touch point is so right? You're like, wait, this is not what is happening in reality, except that it is their reality, right? It is what their seven layer aura is interpreting. It is there and based off of the health and strength of each one of the chakras. And so this is why chakra health is so important. And I'm so happy that you are out there sharing and teaching, because I feel like it affects not only our physical body, but it affects our emotional body, our intuitive lives. It affects everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. You know, it's the base plate of our entire lives. You know, if we are out of balance, if we're out of that equilibrium, if we have one chakra that's like completely dead in the water, or another that's crazy out of control, then, you know, at the very beginning of my journey and on my website, I describe how the chakras are like water wheels, and, you know, and they all work together. And if one is clogged up, then that's going to mess up the whole system. Mm-hmm. So finding this balance. But I love that you attach the health of the chakras to the health of your aura, and how that then picks up the energy, the senses that you're using to navigate life. Because we rely on, you know, we think we've just got the sort of the sight and the smell and the sound and the taste and the touch, which are aligned with the lower chakras, obviously. But to feel that that's, you know, when we have that feeling, that intuition, when you meet somebody, like you say, you know, sometimes you meet someone and you just say, yes, you get it, I like you. And then you meet other people, you go, okay, mm-hmm. Have a happy life, good, you know, and because you can't please everybody, everybody's not for you. But it's a really beautiful way of understanding that, is that it's their energy that you pick up, and it's their aura. So you can see auras. Do you see auras around everybody that you come across, or just when you're focusing and doing a Reiki treatment?
I have learned to turn it on and off. I did want to say one thing to what you just said, which was so beautiful. What I feel, because we have the equal senses for our physical bodies and then the equal senses for our intuitive self. And so I feel like, excuse me, the chakras themselves are the physical feeding of the organs and of our physical body within that region and space. But the aura, the energy that it releases that creates that layer within the aura, is then the intuitive component, the other component to that, which is then our intuition. Yeah. Right. So the chakras feed both our physical body, but also our intuitive sense equally, but one within the body and then one outside of the body.
So it's like the physical body and the energetic body, essentially, mm-hmm. what you're mm-hmm. talking about there.
Yes. Yes. So like the subtle body.
Mm-hmm. Them out. So the chakras feed and deal with the physical body and the feelings and the organs and the endocrine system and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The energetic body is influenced by that, but is held within the aura. Yeah, that makes sense. I love that as a concept. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've learned to turn things on and off so that I could rock it better as a human here on Earth. You know, my very first probably 6 months of Reiki, I was in there, you know, setting my intention that I was drawing in my angels and all these people that were going to help. And then I would say, and anyone else that wants to help, come and heal this person. And so I would have grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and great grandma and all these people. And I was exhausted at the end of the day, because I wasn't just doing Reiki, I was doing mediumship at the same time. And so I ended up finding a medium coach during that time period. And I was like, look, I'm not your normal student. I was like, I need to figure out how to turn this down. Like, I need to figure out how to turn this off. And so it was one of the best things that, of course, all things happen for our blessing, right? So so I ended up seeing her and then learning how to turn it on and turn it off. And it is really as simply as, for those of you who are struggling out there, it is literally as simple as asking Archangel Michael or whoever your divine protector is. So for me, I'd like to lean on Archangel Michael, but it can be whatever your divine protector is. Dude. That there is a gate, just like they say, right? There is a what's the word? This
waterfall barrier. The
veil. Thank you. I was like, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, funny. So there is a veil that does exist, and there is a door, and it is as simple as asking Archangel Michael to keep the door closed and allowing people to come in one at a time when you are ready, or to keep the door closed. And I would also say significant grounding every single day, all the time. So Mama Earth keeps us safe and secure and protected from negative energy that can be harmful from us, from anywhere from EMF to hungry ghosts.
Yeah. No, doing a protection protocol when you're working with somebody's energy is really important, because otherwise you can really become drained. So if any of you out there are doing or thinking about doing energy work, it's really important to put in place some kind of protection protocol where you literally just say, Archangel Michael or spirit guides, you know, can you all, you know, highest light beings, best intent, just protect me, keep some, you know, keep their energy, my energy. Mm-hmm. We're all, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be anything official. It's just a sort of a statement of intent, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. to just mm-hmm. keep that protection. Mm-hmm.
And all that being said, I do want to say that it's not just as simple as the door, but I feel like if you are struggling with spirits in your house all of the time, I think asking Archangel Michael, to your point, asking Archangel Michael to protect your home and to close that door is a great place to start. And then if you're interested in pursuing mediumship, find a coach, find someone who you connect with and who you match with. And I would say, and I say this in my book as well, align your chakras first. If you want to increase your intuition, begin with your chakras first. Always, always, always. Because for the very thing that we just talked about, that your intuition, your sensing, your intuition is going to be predicated on the health and the strength of each one of your energy centers. So start here, do your work here, and then move on. But I know how scary and frightening and disempowering that can feel to have so many spirits coming around you. So I felt that I was feeling the calling or hearing that I needed to say that. So just, simple. Yeah. Ground, protect, close the door.
Perfect. I mean, we can all learn from that, even if you don't feel yourself, you know, being, I feel like even if you're not connected to spirits, or, you know, you don't see or feel or hear them, even just asking for that protection can be valuable, because it just places a layer of protection around you that is always useful. Listen,
back to our example on that is when we fear, right? Here we are incorporating that divine protection here to placate the fear and to bring equilibrium and bring balance into that sense of need of control, or that need of, you know, that natural fear. And so just by releasing that into the divine's hands and trusting and knowing that the divine is protecting us, we can then let go of that fear and control and bring equilibrium there.
No, fear is a gnarly one. I remember somebody telling me that there are only two emotions, mm-hmm. fear and love, and everything mm-hmm. else exists on that spectrum. So mm-hmm. if we begin to loosen fear, then everything begins to, you know, and it's certainly, you know, that's the shadow of your root chakra is fear. That's going to keep you in this kind of like survival mode, which, you know, you don't want to live in. You want to live a bigger life than just living in survival mode. And so finding a way to reduce fear, you know, anger is just a symptom of fear. There are so many things that are, you know, and most disease is a symptom of fear too. So I want to go back to your example. You said you were going to, and I mentioned the hips and the jaw. And
yes. So that moves us to, we're going to skip over the third eye, although we actually kind of talked about the third eye a little bit. So the third eye controls the five chakras below. So when that energy center is excessive, when the third eye is excessive, this is the detachment from reality, because our 1 through 5 is so not in touch with, is so deficient. And then the reverse is true too, when the third eye is deficient and 1 through 5 is super excessive. This is all the excessive traits all wrapped up in one. This is the person that is greedy and materialistic, that's blaming, that is controlling, that is, lack of self-love, and the over talker. And so then, that is, so it's very interesting to me. The third eye is kind of its own little counterpart, because it's one is excessive, and then the five are deficient, or the one is deficient and the other five are excessive. And that's a hard life. That is really hard. But I think when you, and I had avatars in my mind of people that I know for each of these states. Yeah. And it's interesting though, because this one particular person struggles really hard, and it's like, wow, like all I have to do is teach them how to draw into their third eye and like lean into their intuition. And then all this other stuff is going to begin to just bring balance. So back to the jaw and the hips. So our sacral chakra is connected to and partnered with the counter chakra to the sacral chakra is the throat chakra. So we can look at puberty, right? When the sacral chakra is on fire, what happens to that throat chakra of our teenagers? They do not want to speak to us. Yeah, they do not want to speak to us. And this is also true when people are highly emotional, but we cold shoulder is because we're super emotional and we don't want to speak. And the reverse is true. So back to the overtalker. The overtalker is the excessive throat chakra, but deficient and unconnected to the sacral chakra. So the over chakra wants connection. They want to talk to anyone and everyone in the room, except that their words are not connected to their sacral chakra or their emotions. And so they are just spewing words to everyone. And I think we all can find that avatar in our mind of who that person is, and they want connection, but they're lacking that connection to the sacral chakra. And so they don't feel connected. People don't want to listen to them because they don't feel that connection. But when you can incorporate the sacral chakra energy into the throat, then people feel connected. They feel warmer to your message. They don't keep backing away, right? Often with the overtalker, people will, it's clingy, toxic energy, right? A lot of our cord connections can happen in that sacral chakra. So people take a step back because they don't want to be spewed on.
I mean, it's an interesting one, because like in reality, people just go, oh, they just talk nonsense. They just don't stop talking. They gossip. Mm-hmm. It's just like a load of nothing that they're talking. Mm-hmm. And they'll rationalize it with the sort of the content of this constant chatter. But actually what they're feeling is the energy of that is just really not healthy.
Right. And not connected to the sacral chakra. There's no, because again, we look at the themes there. Sacral chakra theme is about connection. It is the home of our emotions. It is our creativity. And our throat chakra is where we feel heard. It is where we feel worthy of feeling heard. Mm-hmm. It is where we also speak our truth. And so in journaling, to connect those emotions to the words, to speaking to a therapist that allows you to activate and connect those emotions. And again, I think there's a really interesting, in Ayurvedic medicine, there is a tool that you use called Ushna Udaka. Have you heard of this? So it's like the boiling off of water. And so to your point of using the elements, the water, sacral chakra is water and throat chakra is ether. And so you boil your water in order to boil off the gas. You off gas the, the gas out of the water to allow the water to be in a more consumable and absorbable state for the body. And depending on your condition, you boil the water for certain durations. But I boil my water every single morning. I drink it out of a pot, right? It can cool. It's fine. Yeah. It can be room temperature water. But I think this is such a amazing and incredible example of how even the elements have to be in equilibrium for them to be right for our bodies.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I mean, it's I think the throat chakra is one of the chakras. I mean, I feel like all of them are very visceral, and we can find examples for all of them, but it's that imbalance that you're talking about. What came up for me is like that thing that when somebody's talking about their emotions, they're saying something that's emotional. And they can... Mm-hmm. And the emotions come out in this kind of little squeaky because the throat is just it's just like, where's this connection? Whereas when you can actually sit there calmly, take a breath and go, this is my truth, and you say it in your voice, oh my God, the power of doing that. And sometimes that takes practice. And I say to my clients and students, like, if it's hard, just don't stand in front of a mirror, just sit in a room on your own and just go, I feel X, Y, and Z. And just like, oh, how does that feel inside you, actually to say it out loud? And, you know, and it may come out squeaky to begin with, but if you practice enough, eventually your throat chakra will begin to go, okay, we can do this. We can do this, guys, come on.
Come out. But I think looking at the symptomatic and the asymptomatic, right? So this is one of the roadmaps that I like to offer, because so many people would say, oh, they're just an over-talker, heal the throat chakra, right? But what I found was in this particular instance, no, it's actually, this is excessive, because it is trying to feed the hurt, and it's trying to bring equilibrium and healing and balance to that hurt 7 to 14 year old that wasn't heard or was excluded or diminished in some way. And I think this is also true, not just in speaking, but it's also, I have seen this to be true with food addiction or drinking, because they are trying to satiate this feeling. So it's still excessive. It's still an excessive experience here, but they're trying to heal the little teenager, 7 to 14 year old, who was excluded, hurt, harmed. And so this is the draw on the system, not the symptomatic chakra, but the asymptomatic chakra is the draw on the partnership. And so in healing the sacral chakra, we then obtain balance in both.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that it's an interesting one, because I think that there's a lot talked about that inner child work, you know, like going back to visit your little 4 or 5 year old inner self and giving them comfort, giving them what they need. Totally valid, really important. Mm-hmm. But we don't talk often about going back and visiting with the teenager. Because that's where some stuff got messed up. That's where my identity, I mean, let's just keep it clean. But, you know, there's so much emotion. There's so much that happens in our teenage years as we go out there trying to be ourselves and working out who that is, that actually then affects us as adults, you know, that we take into life. But as you said, it severely affects and will impact on your sacral energy for quite some time. And I think when I do chakra readings, I often find that, you know, the sacral chakra is one that I'm always kind of like, okay, here we go, you know, let's see what's here, because it's so deep. It's so frequently, and if we can't find equilibrium in that sacral chakra, we're not going to find our ability to be connect with our emotions. And the best way to connect with our emotions is to speak them out in our truth. And so I love this makes so much sense, Erin. I love that you've researched this so deeply and for so long.
Yes.
This book's taken you 5 years to create.
I know. It is so hard to believe. So I follow me on Instagram. I'm starting Love You'll Thrive. And I'm on Facebook and I do weekly YouTubes on at Erin Garay. And then Facebook is both Love He'll Thrive, Love He'll Thrive. But I posted the other day when she arrived, because I only have one copy right now, more coming. But I told my husband, I didn't want her more than 2 inches away from me because it was like a newborn baby. I was like, I need a book, Bjorn, because I don't want her to be like more than 2 inches away from me. And so I actually was wearing a workout outfit. And so I took the book and like stuck it inside my workout tank top. while I was working.
Oh, I love that.
He took a picture and I put it up on Instagram because it was just so true of how this process has been. You know, like we said, we started out, or I guess this was before we were on, but we talked about the Enneagram and I'm a 2-1 and I have a very strong one in that perfection. I want to ensure and make sure I'm putting out correct information. And that was incredibly important to me, painfully important to me, that I made sure that I researched this, that it was accurate, that I had enough. But at some point it got to a place where I was like, this can't be one-to-one anymore. This is supposed to be one-to-many, which is when I started writing the book and then started my podcast. And pandemic helped with that too. So let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I can't see people in my place anymore. But again, divine, perfect timing, right? So everything happens in the perfect way. So I do want to finish off. Let me see. Just so quickly. So just to finish off the system. So as you may surmise, because it's the last two left, the root chakra pairs with the heart chakra.
Yeah.
So, and we can look at that as when the root chakra is excessive and the heart chakra is deficient, this looks like the, you know, very greedy, very materialistic, vain person. But what is happening is it is excessive because their heart is and they often have heart problems. The heart is then draining that system because it needs that. I was like, wait, did I have it right in the right order? Wait. Yeah, that's right. And then when it is flipped and the root chakra is deficient and the heart chakra is excessive, this is when we have the people pleaser.
Giving away
the excessive people pleaser. But I have found 100% on this one for sure. 100%. There has always been some type of abuse in that 0 to 7 year old phase, right? When they're people pleasing, there's something traumatic that happened, and it can be traumatic, like textbook traumatic, or it could be just traumatic to the child. So yeah. I think so many people think, oh, I didn't have a divorce or a death during this time period, but no, if it feels traumatic to you, because your window of experience is so limited between 0 and 7 that it does feel big to you because it is major on a minor timeline. You have only 0 to 7, you have 7 years to work with. So if it feels traumatic to you, it is traumatic. Mm-hmm. And over time, when you begin to lengthen the timeline, it may not feel as traumatic, but I don't ever want anyone to diminish their experience and believe that they didn't have trauma during that time period, because it's how they experience it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's trauma is the word, and it can have a big T or it can have a little T. That's the way I look at it. And I think we all have some kind of little trauma that will have affected us. So yeah, you never diminish what your experiences were, even if you think you had a perfect childhood. And maybe you did. Lucky you. Happy days.
Happy day.
We can all dream. Listen, Erin, this has been like a whirlwind of fantastic energy, and I would love to talk to you again. We'll talk off air, but
I would love that
meantime,
too.
Everybody, you can find Erin Garay at lovehealthrive.com. Her book, Establishing Equilibrium, it's out now. So go find it. And for me, you know, I gather books like, oh, I'm such a magpie when it comes to books. I'm definitely going to be onto that well-known site that will send you anything.
Oh, I'm so happy to send you one. I mean, it may take longer than Amazon, but I'm so happy to send you one.
In the US and the UK, there's some kind of thing going on. So,
oh, is there a thing? Okay. Okay, we could talk offline.
But thank you, Erin, for sharing your wisdom, for coming on and being just this ball of energy and excitement and with so much great solid knowledge. And I feel like everybody who knows the chakra system basically will really identify and it really be helpful to their healing journey. So what your book has to offer, I can't even imagine so much. So I'm really
Thank you so much for having me. It means so much to have this first conversation. And I'm so happy to be connected to you. And I'm so grateful for this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.